December 7th.
8th.
8th. 1988, and we're at Wilson Douglas's in Clendenin. Well, we'll just drink coffee here and talk.
All right. You got it on?
Mm-hmm. Just don't worry about it. Just forget about it.
Yeah, tapes bug everybody.
Well, let me start, Wilson, and tell me what year you're born.
October 22nd, 1922, in Hartman, West Virginia, which is 40 miles north of here, Clay County.
Heartland?
Heartland, H-A-R-T-L-A-N-D. Oh. Heartland, West Virginia, by the railroad tracks.
Is that on the river?
That's on the Elk River. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I know on the tape you talked about your grandmother.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Rosie Morris.
Rosie Morris.
You're right.
Related to the Morris brothers?
No. She wasn't related to him. Her husband, my grandfather, was Morris. Now, he was related to him.
See? Yeah.
She was a Ross from Rome County. She was born and raised in Rome County. Mm-hmm. And she was a top fiddle player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were any of these tunes hers?
She played the... Right here was her specialty.
Blue Eyed.
Yeah, and she also played the, she played the Casey Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, Blue Eyed Miss. And she played a lot of tunes that, you know, was not referring to that tape.
Uh-huh.
More or less, she was a dance fiddler.
Mm-hmm.
And tunes like A Rye Straw and The Dusty Miller and all that kind of stuff. Nobody could touch her. Nobody could touch her on them tunes. Mm-hmm. Any tune that played on 2 to 3 strings. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like Aunt Haley said, she was good. She was smooth and fast. Oh yeah, she played the Two Devons, Walk in the Parlor. And... you know, like Ed Haley said, he was my fan. And, I mean, I was his fan, and to me, he was the greatest. And he called little tunes, you know, single-line tunes. And he was grouchy. I could understand that. He was blind. And... if you'd ask him about some little old tune, if he felt bad, he'd cuss you out. But yet, I got along with him because I was young and he seen that I was interested.
Uh-huh.
And he'd tell me little things, you know, he'd say, "Now, son, if you're going to play the fiddle, if you catch up on the middle of that bow, I want somebody to kick your rear end." He said if they wanted a short bow, they just made it short. You can't play the fiddle like that. He said, learn your shuffles, learn your rolls, learn your straight licks, whatever the tune requires. He said, don't get up and jiggle on a little old tune and try to put the same bow in every tune, for it won't work. Well, then it didn't soak in too much. I was too young. And he asked me how I was going to get a fiddle and so forth. That stuff isn't on that record. You couldn't put all this stuff on. I said, well, I got $7 saved. And I'd work for them farmers, anything I could do to get a quarter. I would drop that in an old mason fruit jar. And there was a lady come up from Charleston. I don't know if I told this, don't think I did. She was sort of aristocrat back in them days, during the Depression, right after 39, 40, things had recovered. And she said, I would buy some plums if I could find them, wild plums. Well, they hit me right now. I knew where there was a wild plum tree. I said, well, how many? He said, I'll take a peck. I said, said, you'll be back up. I'll be up in this country next week. I'm looking for me a chauffeur and a hard girl or servant, to call them now. And she was rich. She lived here in Charleston. I never can think of it. It run my mind. Her name was Mold. It's been so long. I said, I'll have your plums. So, man, she gave me $1 for that dirt pack of plums while I was getting right on up there. When I got $10.40 houred her, Sears Roebuck, I sweated that out, I think, 10 days before that fiddle come. And I thought it was the greatest thing in the world, but down on earth it wasn't worth a dime, you know. I can see that now. And my God, I started, and everybody I seen and carry that thing around in a flower bag, no case for it. And taking up for old man Drake's, he could tune, but he couldn't play. And like the record said, get back home and be partly out of tune, but I'd soar anyway. I drove him crazy. And there was a fellow by the name of Thurl Pettit. He got killed in California, a car hit him. What he fiddled, he was good, but he was a devil of a banjo player. I don't mean maybe. And he helped me a little bit, and I started on the Soldier's Joy, and I wore it out. I won't hardly play it now. And then my grandmother, getting a little ahead of my story, she kept an old fiddle, you know, and we'd go over there, and me and my Uncle Gruger, he wasn't much interested in the fiddle. He liked the banjo or guitar, but he tried. And I said, Grandma, let me try that fiddle. And being wintertime, cold, big snow on, she'd say, now look, I'll show you some other day. I won't play the fiddle tonight. I don't want to be bothered. But I'd gone her in to let me saw it. I'd saw a little bit, and I could see she was getting frustrated. Hey, give me that fiddle. You fellas can't learn nothing. No, you've got to learn, she'd say. I can't fool you. I want a fiddle, and you got to learn. I can't tell you how to fiddle. She'd take it from us. And as time went on, you know, she said, now, if you're going to fiddle, you got to learn something yourself. I can't tell you. And I kept fighting that fiddle, and French Carpenter come in he was up at Oak Hill. He worked up for a while. He filed saws. That's all he's fit for. That's the only thing he would do is file cross-cut saws. And God, he was the best. He'd stay a few days, fiddle a little, and go back. Well, after he got ready to retire, he wasn't able, really, to work. He came back to the country, and he said, Wilson, you come up. I'm going to make a fiddler out of you, or else.
Now, what year was that?
That started in about 60, really. I could fiddle some, but I was like all these other fiddlers, you know, just a few things. And cut and slash, make a note to suit me, which was wrong. So I started going up there. And off and on, I was with him 5 or 6 years, you know, every few nights. And when he wasn't doing nothing, he felt good, I'd go up there. He burned coal. We'd build a big fire. His wife's odd turn moment. She quilted all the time. And he'd fiddle, and he'd show me, you know, and I'd take that old fiddle of mine. And he'd jump on me every once in a while. And he said, now, I can't make you mad. Said, John Morris better coming up here. So I made John mad that I don't think he'd be back. And John went to tell him. Now, he didn't want you to tell him about a tune that them old carpenters played. He didn't want you to tell him nothing. You had to watch him up punch a wrong button. And he said, Wilson, you listen to me. And he said, I want to tell you, I've got a bad heart condition. I'm due to go. He said, I want you to play this fiddle. You're doing good. And I was with him right up till the day before he died. Mm-hmm. And the day before he died, I learned that third down to Mouth Stenson. And the next morning, he was a little old creek up there that had a lot of bluegill. He told his wife he's going down there and fish a little bit. And he went down there and sat down. tie fish hook on. It just dropped over. He's sitting there with that hook and that line in his hand when he found it. He did. But Jerry, he'd say, "Now, don't you copy me, Wilson. Don't you try to copy me. I don't want nobody to copy me. I don't copy nobody." And then he said, "Well, really, you're pretty close, but you don't aim to be. You know, I'd with him so much, and maybe I got a little of his ball." And then I went and I heard Clark yesterday. I'd go and get with Clark when he was sober. But in the meantime, Ed Haley had come in there about the time I was saving up to buy that fiddle. I'd just drop everything barefooted in fall year, cold. Pump that bicycle from Ivydale to Stinson. And the word would get out. Well, Ed Haley come in this morning in the mail act. The mail run down by buggy. Mm-hmm. Horse, that old man, I think his name, he was Arnold. He carried the mail in a buggy and a horse from Ivydale. And they'd say, "Well, Ed Haley come in the mail act, a word had come down, you know, just like a carrier pigeon, somebody'd bring. Well, he's over to Laurie X's. Well, if nobody could make up enough money to buy gas, Dad had an old 28 model A4 pickup with a board rack on it. And God, when they could, they'd mount up there maybe 15 or 20 of them all that thing could haul. And go over to Laurie X's, over to Ed Haley's. Well, when they didn't go, I'd bicycle. I had an old bicycle, about a kid, you'd ride that fur, you know. God, he'd hit that fiddle, and I'd just sit there paralyzed, hard up, barefooted, you know. But the first thing you had to do when you went in over Laura Hicks's, and Haley knew how many people was there, I don't know how, and I'd bring him in this house like I did you. He never asked me where the bathroom was no more, or no place else. And he walked like a fox, wore tennis shoes winter and summer with Arctics over them in the winter, and a big wide pair of suspenders. But the first thing you had to do was read the paper. That was in 40, 41. You read it that evening before you went over there. You had to inform him about the war. He'd say, "Well, he had five or six boys. Well, what's going on? What's Hitler doing now?" One of us would tell him what we read today. "Well, okay." He'd get that fiddle. And his wife, she was blind too on that mandolin. There wasn't no such a thing as him missing the note. That was out.
His wife played the mandolin.
Oh, God, the best I ever heard.
Would she travel with him too?
She was with him. Red, big, fleshy woman. Yeah. And he's both smart. And any tune you named, Ed Haley would play it. And he looked like he was looking right at you, which he wasn't. And I'd sit in front of him every night. You couldn't really, you know, how young fellow. You watching man's fingers don't mean nothing. His fingers are like worms. He never worked. He knows all about that fingerboard. And he said, "Son, what's your name? You sit here in front of me every night," I told him. And I said, "What started off telling him about the fiddle?" I said, "Mr. Haley, you played tunes for everybody here every night. Would you play one for me?" He said, "Well, son, what is it?" And he said, "You in?" I said, "Yeah, I'm saving up to give me a fiddle. Now, I ain't got no money to put a dime in your cup." He said, "A cup, I'll make him up a little money, see." He said, "Well, what is it?" I said, "You play me the Black Eyed Susie." Well, he played it like I did on much better, you know. Well, he said, "It's a damn little old single line tune, but I'll play it." And he did. And then I told him, and that's the first smile I ever seen, that old devil smile. He said, "Well, it's up to you, you know." And he'd come and stay 2 weeks, and then he'd get ready to go home, and we'd gather up a bunch and go over and make him up another $10-$12 and get him to stay another week, see? And then he'd go to Logan, from Logan back to Ashland.
Logan to Ashland. Logan, where was his home?
He was born born and raised in Logan County, Harts Creek.
Harts
Creek? Harts, H-A-R-T-S, Harts Creek. Mm-hmm. And measles put him blind when he's 3 years old. And he liked to starve to death, but he was a gifted fiddler, that's all he was to him.
And he'd come up to Laurie Hicks's.
Laurie Hicks's, and then Laurie was a devil of a fiddler. He was a good fiddler.
And where did he live?
He lived over on Stinson. That's where Ed Haley would come to, see. He'd stay 2-3 weeks. But he's like Johnny Johnson, he liked his liquor. And if you give him one drink of liquor, he couldn't fiddle. Tell you the truth, Jerry, I don't know whether you agree with me. Me and you's good friends. If you don't agree with me, it don't matter. I've got two fiddlers. Now, you're a good fiddler. I know that. You're an excellent fiddler. An excellent banjo player, anything. I don't fourth guitar anymore. Once I did. But when it comes to mountain, honest to God fiddling, if you can get him sober, I don't know what he is now. Johnny Johnson was always my favorite. And people say that Johnny Johnson can't fiddle, he's badly mistaken. And in bluegrass fiddling, Chubby Wise is my thing. I try to play some of his tunes. But Johnny Johnson gets leather breeches. And K.D. or Sally Johnson, call it whatever you want to. And the that other tune there, what is it? Shit, I've forgotten now what it is. Exactly like Ed Haley. Exactly. But of course, Haley knew 1,000 tunes.
You know if Johnson ever got around Haley?
Yeah.
Did he?
He heard Haley fiddle. He heard Haley fiddle.
I know he talks about Hicks.
Yeah, oh yeah, he heard Haley. And Noel Smith Cotterell played a few tunes on the fiddle. And on the belly in the low ground, it wasn't no use for nobody to take the bow out and try it with him. And he straightened Johnson out on the belly in the low ground. And Smith was pretty... He liked Ed Haley, and he liked French Gardner, and he liked Johnson. But you know Ed Haley would get French Gardner to play the cross key for him. And French would say, my God, Ed, you play it. I can't fiddle with you. No, he said, I can't. He said, I changed my fingers, not the key, not the fiddle. And he said, you change your fiddle. It gives a better sound. He'd have old French play him at Camp Chase, the Piney Mountain, all them tunes. He'd sit and listen, you know. He'd say, well, I can play it in standard tuning, but maybe I will. He could. He'd play them. But he wouldn't play nothing up to date like Mockingbird. Make him mad if you mention it. Mm-hmm. He could play this Humphrey Cheek. All this stuff had come out of the South. My God, it was awful. And I fought the thing, Jerry. I've worked hard all my life. And when I play the fiddle, I play hard. And if I hadn't quit them 10 or 15 years, I might have been pretty good. Never touched it. And French did too. He told me he quit about 18 years, never touched a fiddle. And I've only seen one man, or I've heard one man, rather, that could make notes. I don't know how many he could make. Could get sound out of a fiddle like Ed Haley. And that was French Carpenter's daddy, Tom Carpenter. Mm-hmm. And God, he could get some of the awfulest sounds out of a fiddle that you ever heard. But he was too lazy, really, to fiddle. He was a preacher.
Wilson, I know a question.
Ask me anything.
Them carpenters, now they all started back up in Webster County.
Right.
What generation of them got down into Clay County? Was it French's?
Tom Carpenter, French's daddy, and Tom And Benton Carpenter was Tom's brother, French's uncle. Harmon Carpenter was French's uncle. They all come out of, they really come out of Greenbrier County to start with, into Pocahontas, or I mean the Webster. And way back there, about the time the lumber boom started, they drifted into that country. And then they was over in Wirt County, around Barkersburg. Some of them was over in there for years, you know. They made a Y. They come out of Parkersburg, out of Wirt County, and in on Otter Creek and back to Webster Spring. Now that was a beat. Mm-hmm. That was there. That was where they lived all their lives. And I can remember Tom Carpenter. He was a big man, you know, and he'd go from Clay to Cowan to Webster Springs. He'd preach a while. And I have to tell you this tale. He'd get a revival meeting going somewhere. And he was a smart man. Always a smart man in the Bible. Preached like the devil. And they'd be a bunch of young people, a bunch of women, and they'd mention a square dance. Well, there's a big cornfield down there then where that there church was. Old Tom said, "Now, anybody got a fiddle?" One boy told him, "Yeah, he had a fiddle, good one." "And you bring it up there and hide it in a corn shock. After that, after the service, we'll have a little dance down there." Old Tom and fiddle for that dance. Oh, he was some. He didn't practice what he preached, really. God, he could fiddle. Oh, Lord, he could fiddle.
Do you have any idea where Solly was born?
Now, Jerry, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to be, how will I say this? If you want to turn your tape off a minute, let me think.
Yeah, don't mind.
You see, Ernie Carpenter was supposed to be kin to him, right? But now Solly Carpenter, does Ernie verify this story that Solly was born under the rock cleft?
There was a Solly born under there, but it wasn't the same Solly, I don't think.
Well, the one I know was born under the rock, the one that Francis told me about.
Yeah. Well, the one that was born under the rock was supposed to have been born about 1790 or something like that. And boy, that'd make him... He'd be dead by the time of the Civil War.
Oh, yeah. He'd be back in Indian days.
Yeah.
Well, now, that's all that I'm talking about was that very thing. That's why... Well, I'll go back and tell you now the way that, as near as I can. Now, my great-grandfather was Johnny Douglas. And him and Saul Carpenter was half-brothers. In other words, Saul Carpenter's mother was a white woman. Johnny Douglas' mother was a half-Crow Indian. But they was half-brothers. Had the same mother, but different men. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And friends brought it right on down. And then after Solly Carpenter was born, and as time went on, as time there, the French didn't say much about it, only when they went into war, you know. And he says, now this fiddle music and this camp chase and all this stuff, he said, was actually true. And he said what Tom, his father, told him. And of course, Tom, French's father, was young at that time. He said there was nobody could fiddle with him in what was probably Virginia then, you know. Yeah. And he said them tunes originally, except the Camp Chase, he composed, and the Shelvin Rock. Rock, which where he was born. And some of them tunes that he played had come from England that he never got to learn. So that's just about it, Jerry, along that line. But Johnny Douglas and Saul Carpenter was half brothers. But I never say nothing about it, you know, to contrary Ernie in any way. He is a little different. But I'd say Ernie was close kin to Saul Carpenter.
Yeah, Saul was his great-grandfather.
Right.
He.
And he never heard French Fiddle. I don't think Ernie's ever heard him. Now, that record didn't give French Carpenter justice.
Yeah.
No way. The man couldn't play a hornpipe or a waltz to save his life. No way could he play.
Somebody told me one time that French Carpenter, and this kind of bears in mind what you said, he lived in Oak Hill for a while. Somebody told me he one time played with Buddy Starcher.
He did.
On the
he
radio.
Did for a fact, yeah. And I'll tell you who he substituted. You remember Georgie Slim?
Yeah.
He was a hot fiddler. French substituted him. Hmm. And you know, Georgie Slim was an awful fiddler. And now Clark Kessinger, we know Clark Kessinger can fiddle. He was fast and hot. And he told me one day, he said, "Wilson, I'm going to use the word." He said, "There ain't nobody get music out of a damn fiddle like Kim Carpenter." Said, "I can fiddle, but I can't get that music out like I could. I can't get that sound." And he said, "I believe you're part of one of them damn Carpenters." Of course, he cracked it off as a joke. And, he liked Carpenter's fiddling, Clark did. He said, "Now, I've tried to play a few of them tunes, but I can't." But, French Carpenter, Jerry, I don't know how to explain this. And on my way too, if I'm relaxed. When he played that fiddle, it was just a part of him. You know what I mean? He was like myself. He put everything in it he had. Nothing else on his mind. And when them frogs, swamp frogs would sing in the spring of the year, French didn't want nothing. He was smart. He could add anything he wanted. He wanted an old shack with an old split-bottom chair. And that dang old trunk, he made that stuff out of leather. And four or five old trap fiddles to work on after he quit following saws for these lumber companies. And he'd pull that fiddle out of Bud Dusty Dark, Burnett Otter Creek. And them frogs hollering, you know how they do. And he cut down on that Christmas morning or Little Rose or some of them. I believe that's the saddest doggone fiddling I ever heard in my life. And them people say, "My God, French Carpenter's fiddling. You listen to that, would you?" And he'd sit there maybe an hour, play all that stuff. And he wouldn't stay in Charleston where there's lights, too many people. He was like Frank George in a way. You know, he wasn't fooling on the public too much. So I heard him play one time. Bill Monroe had an appearance. And this fella wanted to hear some real old stuff. And Chubby Wise was Monroe's fiddler. French got somebody, that Frank Wilson was his name. He was crazy as a loon, but that some gun could play a guitar out but note, just anything French played. And they asked French to play. Monroe knowed French. And French got up there and hit that Stony Point. My God, I never heard nothing like it. And old Wise said, "Now, French, that's the only way a man can play it." They said, that's the only way he can play it. Oh, he was something. He didn't have patience. If you went to messing around and wiggling around and too much bow, he'd get on you. He'd say, "Now cut that bow off. I'll put that note in there." Well, I'd say, "French can't." You start back over and you put it in there if it takes all week. And he said, "Now it makes me mad to see somebody put a lot of notes and don't blow." And of course I had to listen to him, you know. Him and John Morris couldn't hit it at all. I mean, you know, he said, "John, forget by the time he gets out the gate." Well, it's just a long story, Jerry, you know, but I fought it. I still fight it every night if I'm not tired. But he couldn't learn no hornpipes. He didn't like them. He wouldn't play a waltz at all.
Did you ever hear Natchez the Indian play?
Oh, yeah.
What was he like?
He was the worst fiddler I ever heard, except two tunes. Far on the mountain and the mockingbird. Nobody could touch him.
And I've been told that it was all just a big gimmick, that he might not even have been an Indian.
Oh, he was an Indian. Oh, my God, yeah. I've been right to talk to him. Yeah, he was an Indian. But he could handle that electric guitar. But now that fiddle. And he would burn all the hair out of the bowl. And once they had a contest in Iceland. Well, the word got out in Natchez the Indian, which was supposed to be the champion. And I got, he wasn't no fiddler. And he put on, he made the speed, and he was an Indian. And they had this fiddler's contest, and they invited Ed Haley over. Well, Ed heard him play, and Ed got mad and left. He wasn't even fiddler. He said, "That fella couldn't play nothing." But Ed was wound up. He thought he had competition, see, but he didn't. Yeah, he played Far in the Mountain, the Mockingbird, but like Johnny Johnson on two tunes, and that was it. He didn't play nothing else.
Did you ever hear French talk about McElwain much?
Oh, yeah, French. French, really. He said, "I really got the fine touch through you, Piney Mountain, from McElwain."
Yeah.
He said McElwain was one of the best. And he said, "Wilson, he's just a notch under Ed Haley." And that Reese Jarvis used to live here in Glendon, and he died in Rowan County. Him and my grandmother, she was Park Jarvis. And I heard him play once. He was awful good. And French said he was just a notch under Ed Haley. And Jerry, I knew them all. And when it comes to tunes like the Arkansas Traveler and Turkey in the Straw, stuff like that, nobody played them like Laurie X. Ed Haley said there was nobody could touch him. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't play a lot. And the Blackberry Blossom, you couldn't touch him on it. He's better than Lefty Schaefer was. And Lefty played that tune all right.
How about the Sandy lived up there on Walker?
Oh, Friend Sammy. Oh, God, yeah. Yes, my fella, he was rough, but he could fiddle. Mm-hmm. And he played the high key about all the time. High bass mostly all the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he was good, sure.
How about Sennett Cottrell?
Now, Dad said he played pretty good bow. That was for my time.
Yeah.
I mean, and I never did tell you, Jerry. Kim's gonna make a good banjo player, I believe. Mm-hmm. She plays a good claw hammer. Mm-hmm. But I never did tell you, but now I'm not saying this to brag. Ain't nobody could touch my dad on the banjo on them old tunes. Nobody. Uh-uh. And he's the only man I ever seen could play the thumb string on the Buffalo Girls noted back up. I never seen that done before, but it worked.
What was your dad's name?
Shirley Douglas.
Shirley.
And he lost his thumb, and he never could play no more. And, my dad and me, the Douglas were singers. They didn't care about music, but they were top singers. And me and him was the only ones that played music, really. And, of course, my grandmother, all her people were fiddle players. But she was good. She had a little dance tunes. You couldn't beat her. And nobody could touch her on the rye straw. Forget it. She put something in there. And Franz Carpenter said he wouldn't try it. He said nobody played him like Rosie Mars. And he and my grandmother twin fiddle. Oh, yeah, there she ate that up.
You ever hear a woman play named Angie Carpenter?
Yeah.
Lived up in Braxton?
Yeah. Was good. Yeah. Yes, sir. She had a lot of Surrey Singleton's licks, but it was good, you know. Oh, there's a lot of fiddle players, Jerry. You know, I'm 66 years old. Past. I've had a lot of problems, more than my share. I don't mean, I don't want anybody to feel sympathy for me, but I've had more than my share. Lost a lot of things in my time. If I'd quit playing the fiddle, I'd lose my sanity. It's that simple. And that fiddle is part of me, and I never quit fighting it. I fight it all the time. I get tapes, and I work on them until I think I'm good enough to play them. I never let off on that fiddle. I dream about that fiddle, and I dream of people like you, all these fiddlers. I dream about them. Dreamed old Johnson the other night. Dream of Ed Haley yet, just I can see him just plain as day. And I never let off on that fiddle when I hear you or Ernie Carpenter or some of the bluegrass fiddlers. I listen close. Just try to pick up something, you know, a bow leg. I concentrate on that bow. Now that bow is what I concentrate on is that bow. And Friends is right. Now, it takes, I think sometimes us fiddler reason it takes so long to learn a tune, we can't bow it. Do you agree? Mm-hmm. You can't bow the thing.
That's where fiddling's, that's what it's all about.
I got it. And they'll say, well, he's just straight fiddling. Well, that ain't so. The hand's quicker than I. You're rolling, you're shuffling, you're dipping. I like that little rose. I like never got that little flip in there Carpenter put in there. And all them cross keys, and he put a little over on that Rocky Road to Dublin. He put a little over link and a back pull on that thing. And God, I worked on it, and it was like a Katie Hill, you know, you had to bow both ways. these young fellas, they don't look at that. They straight bow it. And I don't know whether I should put this on tape or not. Now, the man is a top fiddler, you know that. Simmons is a top fiddle player in his field, but he's got a straight bow and he cannot put nothing else in it. He is hot. He's got a lot of skill. But in an old-time fiddler's contest, he don't belong. But I like Simmons, and the man has got skill, but he cannot bow them old tunes. I've heard him try it. And that guy in Webster Springs, I think his name, he's a good fiddler. He's got the straight bow.
In Webster Springs?
Yeah, what is his name? He's a man about my age, fair complected, I'll think his name.
Not that Carpenter.
No, this feller, he retired from the State Road. He more or less bluegrass fiddler. Him and Simmons plays exactly alike. I think his name. He's a good fiddler. But now, Burl Hammonds, if he hadn't drank himself to death, could fiddle. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he could fiddle. Me and Kim was up there late this fall, you know, and he's sick. And he said, Wilson, I haven't touched the fiddle for a year or two. I said, now look, we got to hear one tune. And I handed him that fiddle, and of course he's nervous. He missed a lot of notes. Kim taped it, but now, boy, it's good. It's a shame, ain't it? He said, Wilson, you begin to get the bow, ain't you? I said, I don't know. I can't fiddle, but I tried. And them old timers, Jerry.
What'd you really think of Iris fiddling?
Harry Mullen?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, now this is funny. first time I seen R. A. Moses 11 years old. And he was drunk and he was drunk the last time I seen him. But back in the 40s, R. A. Moses could, what he played, you couldn't beat him. But he couldn't learn a tune. He couldn't learn a tune. And Ed Haley said, there's nobody can touch him on the Fisher's Hornpipe. He said, nobody. And Sally Gooden in the cross key. But R.A. Mullins could not learn a tune. But now his third wife could fiddle all around him. God, she could play them waltzes. It's pitiful. Now, she taught R.A., but she got him so far, and he wouldn't learn nothing else. He couldn't quit drinking long enough. But as you know, what he fiddled, and he was a good entertainer. And he went to Kentucky one time. We was all down there. You know J.P. Fraley. He's a hot fiddler. Softy, one of them softies, but he's a good fiddler, man. And they didn't know R.A., you know. He come out on that stage and them gals, he was about half drunk. Dana Perkins and somebody was with him. And he said, well, he hadn't been in that state for long years, and he would just said, I'll give you a little tune to fish your hornpipe. God, he played that thing. And J.P. said, I ain't gonna play. He said, my God, said, that man can fiddle. I said, well, just hang in there a while. Let him play another tune or two. And well, he said, I believe I can handle it. And that crowd went wild. God, he played that. And he got drunk that night and never come back for the night show. And he was a top banjo player in the early days, yeah. Jerry. Oh, yeah. He knew music. He could sing. Yeah, he sang in a quartet, but that fiddle is too much for him. When he left them four or five tunes, forget it. But I don't believe in staying in one place. If you're not going to move ahead, if you're not moving ahead, you're not going back, and you're in one place, I don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. I believe either go on with it or forget it. That's why I fight it. And it gets dull, fiddle playing becomes monotonous if you stay in one place. If you just do one thing over and over, I get sick of it. I like to try something complicated, and if I can't fiddle, I'll just forget about it. And they jump on me for trying to fiddle that lime rock working on it. I do it because it's a challenge, and I've about got it. And I'd like to, I know a fiddler that plays that, but he's old and don't think he can play. He was next to anything I ever heard. Old man George Hawkins down at Lexington, Kentucky. He's in an old man's home now, you know. He was equal to Ed Haley. He played that Humphrey's jig, all that stuff, you know, and he had a drinking problem. Just like about all my good fiddlers. And I want to learn. Ed Haley played the devil out of it. And the bony parts, I mentioned that. Johnson can't be beat on that. Forget it. Mm-hmm. And I imagine he taught you a lot up there, didn't he, Jerry? But you can't cope with Johnson. Nobody can. In the 40s, he was headed for Nashville, but liquor got him. I know that. It got him. And his brother was as good as he was. Mm. On a guitar, he was as good as he was.
But did you ever know any colored fiddle players?
The only colored fiddler I ever saw was this past summer down in Galax. Uh-huh. He fiddled on the stage.
Never knew any around here?
No.
I know there was a few up around Braxton County. Way back, there was a couple old slaves that played.
Was it good?
They say they're pretty decent, yeah.
Well, now this young Negro fiddler, black fiddler, Gay Lags, he was dang fast, nobody could stay with him. You know, have you been there, Jerry?
No.
you want to go next year? Yeah. I went down there and I wouldn't even take my vettel out. I thought, my God, I never seen the like of them. Some of them old. I thought, now I'm going to walk around like Johnny Johnson. Listen, I'm not going to get up there and make a joke out of myself, or I'm not going to jam around here till I hear some of them. And I sort of shook up. I said, now, Kim, you're too good for me. I ain't going to play. And he first, by dark, he started here and there. I heard every one of them, and I thought, well, I'm ready. Thank God we played all night. 4:30, laid out in that car like to kill me. Got up the next day and couldn't get nowhere to stay. Saturday evening we started again. But I thought this awful good. Bobby Taylor was on it. You know, he was there. He wasn't vettel. I don't know what was wrong with him.
He was a judge, wasn't he?
He judged, but he had a lot of time. He wasn't vettel. But they didn't go for his fiddling. I don't know why. They said, well, he's too fancy, you know. I said, well, I don't know about that. I like Bobby. He said, he put too much that fancy. We want something we can dance by. We want to hear something that's old. God, they like to play a song to dance. And Karen Salmon was playing the guitar. She's a good player. And that other woman there from up at Mount Airy on the banjo, Kim on the banjo, because we had it going. But you ought to get down there, yeah. And you shine down there, they'd love you.